Morning. It's good to see your faces this morning. If I haven't met you, my name is Pastor Cherie. I'm the youth and kids pastor here at Hope City, and I am so excited to see all of your smiling faces. I'm really excited about Project Back to School. I'm like really, really excited about it. In the past, we have done outreaches right around kids going back to school, and they've been successful. They have gone so well. People have been so grateful. And this one is above and beyond anything that we've done yet here at Hope City. And we can do that because of you guys. So if you're wondering, like, what is Project Back to School? Here's our heart. The heart of Hope City is that if Hope City, for some reason, were to have to shut its doors tomorrow, we want our community to notice. We want our community to say, man, we really are missing the impact of Hope City Church. And that's what we're doing. When we put on things like Project Back to School, we are saying to our community, we care about you, we love you, we are here for you, and we want to support you. And so whatever that looks like, if it looks like getting La Clinica out here to do STI checks, then we want to do that. If it looks like getting the smart reading program out here to get books in the hands of kids who might not otherwise have them, we want to do that. If it looks like getting dental kits out here so that we make sure that we got new toothbrushes in the house, we want to do that. If it looks like formula, diapers, wipes, we're going to do that. And those are just a few of the needs that we're going to be able to meet because of Project Back to School. So I'm so excited about Project Back to School, and I want you to be a part of it. I want you to experience it. So get signed up to help today. All right, last week, Pastor Jason started us off in this series called Trust Issues. And whoo, Trust Issues is already off to a good start. I'm feeling it. And we've been hanging out in the book of Esther for the last couple of months. And at this point in the story, God's developed some history with Esther and with Mordecai. He's been showing up. But it hasn't necessarily been in the timing or maybe as quickly as we feel like, or maybe as Esther and Mordecai feel like he should have been. He's been showing up, but as Pastor Jason pointed out last week, it hasn't been like right away. It's been like taking some time. God's been taking his time in showing up. And isn't that how it works? Man, Pastor Jason talked about last week how Esther waited for 3 years. Isn't that, how many of you guys feel that? How many of you guys are like, okay, God, you said, right? Okay, God, you spoke. Now get to work. Where are you? Last week, Pastor Jason talked about desperation and how desperation can set in when we're waiting for God to move. When God has spoken and we're like, all right, God, you said it. Now I'm ready. You said it. Now I'm expectant. And in those moments, when we're waiting, we can start to feel desperate. We can start to feel like, okay, where are you? And he reminded us last week that desperation, to go to God with your desperation is okay. That's good. But don't let your desperation turn into despair. Don't let your desperation turn into, God, are you really there? Don't let your desperation turn into, God, I'm starting to wonder if you even hear me. That's when things get tricky. This was life or death for Esther and Mordecai. Esther was feeling desperate at this point in the story. It's not only life or death for her, but it was life or death for her entire people group. Her entire people group was at risk here. Imagine how hard that would have been to keep the faith, to stay positive, to allow God time to work. We're in Esther chapter 8, and we're going to jump in verse 7 and read 7 through 10. And really, we're going to be in the rest of chapter 8 today, and we're just going to kind of break it up into chunks. And so starting in verse 7, then King Xerxes told Queen Esther and Mordecai the Jew, I have given Esther the property of Haman. He has been impaled on a pole because he tried to destroy the Jews. Now, everybody say now. We love that word. We do. You guys admit it. You love that word now. You want God to work now. Now, go ahead and send a message to the Jews in the king's name, telling them whatever you want and seal it with the king's signet ring. But remember, whatever has already been written in the king's name and sealed with his signet ring can never be revoked. So in the third month, on the 23rd day, the king's secretaries were summoned, and a decree was written exactly as Mordecai dictated. It was sent to the Jews and to the highest officers, the governors and the nobles of all the 127 provinces, stretching from India to Ethiopia. The decree was written in the scripts and the languages of all the peoples of the empire, including that of the Jews. The decree was written in the name of King Xerxes and sealed with the king's signet ring. I'm going to give you a spoiler alert. Are you ready for it? Spoiler alert. In verse 12, it tells us that this edict was written, but that it wasn't going to go into effect for another 9 months. Now, there's plenty of people in this room who know what it's like to wait for something for 9 months. Am I right? There's plenty of people in this room right now who know what it's like to wait for 9 months for something in the middle of summer. Right? We got 9 months is a long time and it's hot out there. See, what happens to me, I'm sure it's never happened to you. It's probably just me. What happens to me is that once I go to God in desperation and he speaks, I know exactly when and how he should work. Now, I feel like you should do it right now, God. My timeline is most logical. My timeline makes a great sense. And honestly, I have incredible ideas. So probably, God, you should just listen to me and do it on my timeline. Am I right? Yeah. But in this case, God's plan is taking some time, a lot of time. And all the while, imagine the feelings that Esther, Mordecai, and the Jewish people are feeling. I'm sure that they were nervous. I'm sure they were unsure. I'm sure they were anxiety-ridden. They were probably a mess. Because while it's in writing, the promise is there, but they're still waiting. They're still waiting for it to happen. They still have 9 months to go. For a picture, we all love a good illustration, right? We're going to talk about a wall today. There it is, up on the screen. And I need this wall to be gone. Okay? We'll just pretend that that's me. I'm looking at it. I'm like, I need it to be gone. And I'm desperate for this wall to be gone. This wall can represent anything that you choose for that wall to represent. But I'm sure that you've been in that spot where you're like, I'm desperate, God, for that wall to not be there anymore. Some of you guys have something in your head right now that you're like, yeah, I'm desperate for that thing to be gone, for it to not be there anymore. And I say, God, please, please tear it down. I need you to take care of it. I can't do it on my own. I'm desperate for you. And God says, okay, we're going to tear it down. Now my timeline says, okay, God, you spoke. Now's the time. Here we go. And God says, how about we wait? Not yet. God, do you know how great my timeline is? Do you know how right I am? And God says, let's wait. instantly, we jump into one of three mindsets. The first mindset is this: fine, then I'll do it. I'll make it happen right now. After all, God, you already said that it's going to happen. So what's the harm in making it happen now? I'm ready for it now, so let's do it now. So I start to move these bricks one by one on my own. If you've ever seen a brick wall in person, you know that I'm not just going to lift that brick off that wall. Right? You guys are already thinking about what it's going to take for me to do that on my own. How successful am I going to be? Uh-huh, yeah. The second mindset that we might jump into is we start developing these trust issues, right? God doesn't tear the brick wall down according to my timeline, so I start to question. Maybe God doesn't keep his promises. Maybe I didn't hear his voice. He probably doesn't even hear me when I pray. What's the point? Well, I guess this brick wall is just going to be here. I guess it's part of my life now. It's just the way it is. I might as well make it work. And now we start to get cozy with this brick wall because it's not going anywhere. I've convinced myself that that's going to stay there and it's going to be there. And so I might as well make it work for me. So maybe I'll get some tarps and I can bring them off the edge here and that'll provide some kind of shelter for me. Maybe I can get some nice string lights and at least try to make it look pretty, right? I'm going to cozy up to this wall because I don't really think that God's going to move it anymore. I'm having a hard time trusting that what he said he's going to do, he's going to do. We try to make it look as pretty as we can so that other people don't see it or notice that, like, hey, that brick wall's there still. Maybe if I decorate it just right, it'll look like it's supposed to be there. We try to fit it into our lives the best way we can because probably it's not going anywhere. It's just going to be there. It's the way that it is now. Mindset number three is, fine, I'll wait. God, if you're saying that we're going to wait, we'll wait. And while I'm waiting, I'm just going to do me. I'm going to pursue other things. I've always wanted to learn a new hobby. God said, wait, so I'm just gonna pursue my career. I'm just gonna pursue the things that I've always been wanting to do. Because, yeah, God's over there. He's gonna take care of that wall eventually. I'm actually gonna go grab my hammock. Right? It's fine. I've got shade now. I'm just gonna set up my hammock. God said that he's gonna move. I'm sure he'll do it eventually. In the meantime, I'm gonna rest. I'm going to kick my feet up. Man, it's about to get comfortable in here. That brick wall that you see, it's fine. God will do it. He said he will. I'm just waiting. He's going to take, one day I'm going to come out here and it's not even going to be here anymore. So I'm going to get cozy and I'm going to wait for it. But as we read on in the story, we see that these three mindsets were not the same mindsets that Mordecai and Esther modeled for us. We see them taking a different approach. And this approach is one that I think we could all learn from in this room. The first thing that Mordecai did once the promise was in place was he spoke it. He spoke it out. Verse 10 and 11 say this. They say, the decree was written in the name of King Xerxes and sealed with the king's signet ring. Mordecai sent the dispatches by swift messengers who rode fast horses, especially bred for the king's service. The king's decree gave the Jews in every city authority to unite and defend themselves, defend their lives. They were allowed to kill, slaughter, and annihilate anyone of any nationality or province who might attack them or their children and wives and take the property of their enemies. Mordecai didn't second guess. He didn't say, well, it might happen, guys. It might not. Like, I think this is what we're going to do. No, Mordecai immediately got the message out. We say a lot around here. We say, speak life. And that's because there is power in our words. And if God has promised you something and you are believing God for a situation in your life, the words that are coming out of your mouth are powerful. So you better be speaking life. You better be claiming that promise. You better be claiming all that God can do over that situation. You better speak it out. Thinking back to our wall up there, you better start talking like that wall's already gone. It's already coming down. Anyone that you open your mouth to about that wall, you better be saying, but God's working on it. It's coming down. I know. I don't know exactly when yet, but I know that that wall's not going to be there. It's God's working on it. It's in the works. Pretty soon, you're not going to see that wall there anymore. The second thing that Mordecai and Esther called for was for the Jewish people to not just sit around and wait the 9 months, but it was time to prepare. Verse 12 says this. It says, the day was chosen for this event throughout all the provinces of King Xerxes. And the day was March 7th of the next year. A copy of this decree was to be issued as law in every province and proclaimed to all the peoples. Get this right here. So that the Jews would be ready. Everybody say ready. So the Jews would be ready to take revenge on their enemies on the appointed day. Guys, once we speak it out, then it's time to prepare. It's time to get ready. It's not time to get in your hammock and feel all cozy until God decides to just crumble it one day. Unfortunately, that's not how it usually works. God doesn't usually take the easy way out. Can he? Absolutely. In the snap of a fingers, God can do anything. And we've seen it time and time again, but more often, we see that we have to prepare, that we have to put the work in, that we have to be ready to take revenge on the thing that's keeping that wall up. God didn't just make it so that the Jewish people were safe. As we were reading that story, it didn't say, so Mordecai wrote an edict so that nobody could put their hands on any Jewish person. That's not what it said. The edict said, if anyone comes at you, you can defend yourself. That's what the edict said. They still had to fight for their lives. Verse 13 said that the Jewish people needed to be ready to take revenge on their enemies. This didn't mean that all of a sudden no one could attack them. It was permission to fight back. And they had 9 months to get ready for it. That hammock was not the best move for them. They needed to train. They needed to prepare their weapons. They needed to build their defenses and get ready because this wall wasn't going to be a walk in the park. It's time for you to stop expecting for the plans of God to be a walk in the park. It's time for you to start preparing for that wall to come down. You need to gather your tools. You need to prepare the construction zone because it's about to get messy. Pastor Cherie, are you saying that God's plan is messy? If we're going to get that wall down, do you think it's going to just be this clean little, nice little area that's been upkept? No, construction, destruction in this situation is messy. And you all have seen it in your own life. You've seen walking out in obedience. Is it always clean and picture perfect? No, it's messy. Prepare for the mess because God's moving. And on the other side of that mess is breakthrough. On the other side of that mess is God's promises. On the other side of that mess is your freedom. Are you ready to fight for it? Are you ready to battle for it? Are you ready to gather your tools and say, let's go? God, as soon as you give me the green light, I'm ready to go. I've had 9 months to prepare. I've been waiting. I've been sharpening my tools. I've been preparing the ground. And now it's time to go. The results are so worth it. What are you doing to prepare in the waiting? How is your relationship with God growing? How are you moving forward, even in the waiting? This year at Hope City, we've been on a campaign called the Forward Movement. And the Forward Movement is all about taking intentional steps forward with Jesus. Even when God says, let's wait, not yet, you can still be moving forward. You can still be growing in your relationship with Jesus. You can still be getting ready for the moment that he says go. How are you making sure that when God does decide it's time, you're ready? Here's an example. Get ready. Get those toes under that seat. What if God brought 300 people to Hope City next week? Would we be ready? Would we have enough life group leaders for those people to plug into? Would we have enough nursery volunteers to keep those babies safe? What are we as Hope City doing right now to prepare for what God might want to be doing in our church? You can't be a life group leader if you haven't attended a life group. So what are you waiting for? It's time to prepare. It's time to get plugged in. It's time to attend Growth Track. We want to be ready for whatever God wants to do here. And we're not going to just be a church that sits around in a hammock waiting for him to just do it. That's not who we are. So what are we doing as Hope City to get ready for whatever God is waiting to bring in those doors? What can you be doing to help us be ready? And finally, once we are speaking it out, once we're preparing, the final thing that we must be doing in the wait is to worship until we break through. Verse 15 says, then Mordecai left the king's presence, wearing the royal robe of blue and white, the great crown of gold, and an outer cloak of fine linen and purple. All the people of Susa celebrated the new decree. The Jews were filled with joy and gladness and were honored everywhere. In every province and city, wherever the king's decree arrived. Listen here. The Jews rejoiced and had great celebration and declared a public festival and holiday. And many of the people in the land became Jews themselves, for they feared what the Jews might do to them. They're like, it's coming, y'all. Nothing had even happened yet. The Jews haven't fought anyone. The only thing that has changed about their circumstance is a promise. And they're celebrating like they just won the lottery. They're throwing the biggest party because they just defeated everyone? Because they won? No. Because there was a promise in place. I'm going to invite the worship team back up because you guys, here is the bottom line. God is still good. And he still deserves our praise. So even when it hasn't happened yet, he's still good. And even when we don't see a way, he's still working. And regardless of who we lose, how bad it seems, how absent God feels, he is still close by. And he is still the number one authority and priority in our life. And we need to let him be that. We need to let him have that spot, that number one spot. When we take time to praise, and tell God who he is, how much we love him, how much we trust his plan and his timing. It elevates him in our own heart to be number one. Any other spot in our life other than number one is not good enough. That's not what he demands. He demands number one spot in our life. So we're gonna worship him like that wall is already down. We're gonna be joyful and celebrate like it's already done, because that is what he deserves. I already know that as I've been talking today about a brick wall, as I've been talking about circumstances and promises in your life, I already know that things are coming to mind. I already know that you're thinking of things, that things are popping into your head, because I already know that every single person in this room has something that they're believing God for. And maybe you're like, well, actually, Sheree, I don't, because I don't even have a relationship with this God that you talk about. You're saying that we're believing for God. I haven't even talked to God before. But I do feel that heaviness. You all know the heaviness that I'm talking about. Whether you're in relationship with Jesus or not, there's a heaviness for those things that we can't seem to break through on. And if you're in this room and you're like, listen, I don't have a relationship with Jesus, but I want to give it a try. I want to start believing for God to move the impossible things in my life. If you're in this place and that's something that you want to do, I want you to lift up your hand right now. So then that means that the rest of us, all of us in here, are believing God for something. There's something, and you might feel like, well, Sheree, my thing is nothing compared to other people's. I don't care. You're believing for God to move in some way. Maybe it's those 10 people that you've been praying for all summer and that you're getting ready to invite on September 11th to our birthday party. Maybe that's what you're believing God for. Maybe it's for something in your own life that you just can't seem to break. Maybe you're believing for addiction. Maybe it's unfaithfulness. Maybe it's anger, jealousy, gossip. We all have brick walls in this building. And today is the start of us putting these things into practice. We're gonna worship today before our breakthrough. We're gonna worship as a family, as a group of people who are solidified in the pursuit of moving forward, because that's what we are. Right now, as a group, we are a group of people who have committed to moving forward. We're gonna declare right now that God is still good and that he gets the number one spot in our life. The worship team's gonna sing one more song. And when they sing those first words, if there's a brick wall in your life that you're believing God for, I want you to get up out of your seat and I want you to bring it down here. Shaq talked today about weights. You better bring that weight up here and drop it. You better get up here with all of the other people who are believing for breakthrough in their life. You might say, Sheree, what's so special about this? Obedience. There's nothing special down here. It's just you deciding that God gets the number one spot. And that means that he gets a spot in front of your uncomfortability. He gets a spot in front of your anxiety. He gets a spot in front of your insecurity, in front of your, I don't want people to see me. I don't want people to wonder what I'm going up there for. I don't want people to judge me or look at me different. He gets a spot in front of that. That means that you get to put it aside and you get to say, God, I might look like a fool, but I'm tired of this. God, I might look like a fool, but I'm going to praise you because you get the number one spot in my life, not anything else. And so when they sing that first word, you better get down here. And you better start praising, worshiping like that brick wall isn't here anymore. You better start worshiping like it's already done and that you're on the other side with breakthrough and